Welcome to Recovery Devon Podcast. We're a community interest company working to support mental health recovery in Devon. Our podcasts invite people with ideas of all kinds which explore mental health and what it means to be fully human.
In this episode, we're talking to Harriet Nock of Making a House a Home. Harriet and I had a chat on a very dark, wintry night during lockdown about the importance of making the best of the environments that we find ourselves in and not being too hard on ourselves if we don't always get it right. Harriet is the owner of Making a House a Home, which is a very popular Instagram account that she set up to help her manage her anxiety and share her love of cleaning as a strategy to make herself feel better. In the podcast, we talk about a range of subjects, including self-harm, anxiety, depression, and some of the challenges of being a mum to small children. Harriet also reads from her book, Emerging from the Storm, an anthology of poetry about managing anxiety. Hope you enjoy it.
Big slurp of hot chocolate. Have you got anything to drink there?
I haven't, but I've just had my tea, so I'll have a nice cuppa afterwards.
That sounds good. So let's start out by talking about how you got into cleaning, because I first heard about you, Harriet, when Recovery Devon's Happy to Share My Table cards were just getting started on Instagram, and we had 10 followers, 20 followers, and then suddenly one day I logged on and we had 470 followers overnight, and I thought, what's happened? And found out that you had shared about Happy to Share cards. So I had a look and I spoke to James at Recovery Devon about it, who's up in North Devon. And he said, oh yeah, I know about Harriet. I know that story. So I'd start by saying, how did you get into cleaning? What was the appeal of that?
Oh, wow. Thank you. Well, basically I suffer from anxiety quite badly. And sometimes it makes me feel like really, really overwhelmed. And I can find it hard to keep up with like basic things like housework. After having my little ones, I found myself stuck in a bit of a rut, and I was really, really struggling to keep our home like clean and tidy. When my eldest was a newborn, all I wanted to do was focus all my time on him, which obviously isn't a bad thing, but it meant I was falling behind on everything else. So I started up an Instagram account to try and inspire me and motivate me to just manage things better. Because I thought if I was putting myself out there on a platform to other people, it would encourage me to try harder to sort of, yeah, just keep on top of things a bit better. And like I say, I used to absolutely hate cleaning. It was a real chore and I found it really boring. But when I joined the Instagram community, I learned that it could be like really fun. And it's just this lovely sense of like togetherness there. There's so many other people that love cleaning and it can just be really enjoyable. And for me, it's also a great outlet and a way for me to switch off from my mind. I find that like focusing myself on a task then helps to quieten my worries and anxieties.
Yeah, there's a type of therapy that I've never received, but was really interested in it, called behavioural activation therapy. I'm no expert by any means, but the idea seems to be that sitting and worrying about doing things is really bad for your mental health, and just getting up, and even if you just do something for 30 seconds, which I know can be a tremendous effort when you're suffering with anxiety or anything else, you know, it can be a real mountain to climb. But once you're up and you've started, you start to feel a lot better. Is that how cleaning is for you? Or?
I think so. I've actually heard of the behavioural activation. I had some counselling for my anxiety quite recently, and that was sort of one of the themes that we touched on, is that like being productive makes you feel like mentally and physically a lot better. So if you can try and just encourage yourself to do like small tasks, it really helps you to feel more positive. And for me, I think cleaning does really help that, because especially at the moment with lockdown, obviously we're all more concerned about germs anyway, but also a lot of us are stuck indoors and spending a lot of time at home. So having a hobby like cleaning, which you can do from the safety of your own home and around your family and things, is really ideal at the moment.
Yeah, that's such a good point about lockdown, isn't it? I mean, we're talking to each other on a cold, dark night as well. I'm really feeling that I'm missing the outdoors quite a bit. You know, the lockdown one in March, we had this glorious weather in Devon, didn't we? That lasted spring and a lovely summer. And so not being able to socialise or go shopping wasn't quite so hard. It was tempered by having all these lovely daylight hours in this
being able to get out in the garden and get fresh air and things.
Yes, yeah. And aren't we lucky in Devon that we've got all these lovely places on our doorstep? So
we are.
Know that it's dark at sort of 4:30. I really feel like, gosh, I'm looking around inside my house and thinking, what can I do to make this place a bit nicer and a bit more bearable, considering it's really hard to get out?
It is, and it feels so surreal to just not be able to do anything like normal and being able to like support small businesses and things, and everything's closed. Yes. It's horrible, really. But I think that's another reason why it's so important to just try and get through it together. I think the more we can help each other as a community and reach out to each other, the easier it will be for everyone, because I think it's such a lonely time of the year for so many people. So I think now more than ever, it's just really important to stay in touch with people and to try and just look at the positives.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. Absolutely. Connection and cleaning and the importance of environment. Thank you for sharing about your struggles with anxiety. I just wonder, has the current situation made that more difficult? Or
in some ways it's made it worse, because it's quite hard for me being stuck indoors with two toddlers all the time as well, because I'm not managing to get them out much or to like play groups and things. They're not really interacting with other children as much, and then they get bored and they get destructive. So trying to keep the house clean and tidy with them home all the time and being full of energy is like being stuck in a revolving door. So I'm finding that quite challenging. That makes my anxiety a bit worse, because obviously for me, cleaning being a coping mechanism, when I then don't have time to do it, it can be quite hard for me to find like a way to make myself feel better, because I just feel constantly like I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah, you've said that really well. And mine are a bit older, mine are 11 and 17, but they still generate an unholy amount of mess. That's life at the moment. But yeah, I remember when mine was smaller, I used to feel like I was just shoveling snow all the time with the housework.
It is like that. And yeah. I think that's another thing to sort of encourage people to do, is not to pressure themselves at the moment, because there's so much strain on our mental health with the current situation. The worst thing you can do is sit at home and beat yourself up over things not being perfect. So I think it's really important just to sort of, everyone just needs to lower their expectations at the moment, I think, and just remember that we're lucky to have a roof over our heads. So it doesn't matter if it's messy and we've got washing and dishes to do. It just matters that we're safe.
Yeah, absolutely. I give that advice to people quite a bit as well, similar to words, not as well as you've said it, but I'm taking it myself. So if the housework gets to a certain pitch, then and it starts to stack up, I can feel myself getting,
you feel a bit under pressure.
yeah, it's more depression for me. I'm always start to go down the rabbit hole of, oh, I'm not good enough, and help my life's coming.
I can definitely relate to that. And that's another way that I end up getting overwhelmed then, because I look around me and I feel like it's such a mess. It's just going to be impossible to get back on top of.
Yeah. And there's something about that visual clutter as well, the kind of sensory overwhelm of having lots and lots of objects around.
They say tidy home, tidy mind, and I think that's really, it does resonate with me, but unfortunately at the moment we don't have the tidy home.
Well, good enough, I think, is what you mean. Good enough.
Definitely.
And because we can't go out as well, you know, I used to enjoy going out and having a long walk and leaving home behind, but it's harder to do that, isn't it? So I'm just casting my mind back now to a time when I was very, very depressed, really struggling with depression, and I just let everything go in my house. And it was the knowing where to start for me. You know, things had got to such a bad level that I was ashamed to let anybody in. I was ashamed of the way I looked. Yeah, things like getting food shopping in was difficult because the fridge was clean for a long time. Things had just got so... I know what worked for me, but I'm just interested to know, what would you say to someone who feels just overwhelmed about where to start with their environment?
I think the most important thing is to tell someone else how you're feeling. Even if you're not ready to let them in your home to help you, just having that emotional support is really important. It's like when I'm really, really struggling, I can just pick up the phone and talk to my mum, and she'll just sort of talk me through it, because it always seems a lot easier when someone else is telling you how to break it down. But my main advice for that would be, I set up a hashtag called One Task a Day. And the aim is to just focus on achieving one thing each day. So the task can be literally as small or as big as you feel capable of doing. And it's just a really good way to not overwhelm yourself. You're still getting that sort of positive feeling from accomplishing something, but without trying to overdo it, which can then make you feel worse. I think when people write long to-do lists and then struggle to get it all done, then they feel like a failure. Whereas if you're only focusing on one thing and taking it really bit by bit, it's a lot easier to try and get out of it. So I think focusing on something like just one corner or just one task is a really good way to start.
Yeah, I love that. And I love as well, Harriet, that you've talked about making a connection with someone. I guess I wondered if you were going to give a very practical tip about Hoover first or something like that, but you've connecting with another person and talking about how you're feeling. So thank you.
I think that is the most important thing, though, is having that support. Definitely for me, like on the road to recovery, it would have just been impossible if I was trying to do that on my own. So I think especially now with lockdown and having not much support anyway, it's definitely like more important to just reach out to someone
and be heard. Yeah, that's so important. And I love one task a day. Was it one task a day? Is that what? Yeah. I love that. So what worked for me, we're going back a good 15 or 20 years now, but I signed up to a website called The Fly Lady. Have you ever heard of The Fly Lady?
I haven't, no.
Well, she might be out of date now. I should have probably checked before I got on the call to see whether she's still going, because this is like 2002. But it's an American woman who really advocates cleaning for mental health. And she sends people a daily email with just one thing in it that you need to do. And she's got this thing called baby steps at the beginning for somebody who's completely new to it. And the first thing that she recommends people do is clear their sink and their dish drainer. Just do that.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a really helpful resource. I love the fact you get like the daily reminders, because I think another thing is you can just get to a level of depression where you just feel numb and you just kind of forget everything. So it's even like impossible to remind yourself to do things sometimes. So I think having a gentle reminder like an email is a really good way to go about it.
Yeah. I used to love getting the emails. And she always started each email, or rather signed off each email with, "You are not behind. Start where you are." And I love that, you know, you're not behind. You just got to.
That's a lovely saying.
Yeah, step into the stream and take a step. That's all you need to do. Yeah. Something you said just then that really made me. I wonder if for some people, housework comes with a lot of emotional baggage. So say you were told off a lot as a kid for not keeping your bedroom tidy, or say you had a difficult relationship where somebody was doing the lion's share, or there were lots of arguments about housework. And sometimes it can bring up feelings of, you know, nobody's looking after me, I'm the one who has to do everything. So what advice have you got for dealing with emotional baggage around housework, Harriet?
I think if it's the extent where you're feeling like all the pressure's on you, you need to try and get the other people that live with you or the other people in your family to try and help out. So it's like my toddlers are still only very young, but I do try and encourage them to help tidy, and I try and like get everyone a bit more involved. So it kind
I'm just chuckling at, sorry, I'm just chuckling at toddlers helping.
they try.
Give them 10 socks to put in the drawer and that'll keep them busy for half an hour if you're lucky, isn't it?
That's it.
Sorry, carry on.
So I think trying to sort of delegate jobs to other people will help to ease the pressure a little bit. And other than that, I think just try and make it as fun as possible. So instead of seeing it as something that's a chore and that you have to do, see it as like a bit of time to listen to your favourite music or to put a podcast on. I think that's a really good way. Like that definitely helps me when I'm having an unmotivated day. If I put the tunes on, it will really help me get through the washing up and things. So
have you got any tunes you particularly recommend for washing up?
I just really like the 2000s hits and 1990s hits. It's all the like dance music and things, pop music.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, I like pop and disco for housework. I particularly like Chaka Khan. She's got a song called "I Feel For You," and that always makes me laugh if I'm, you know, cleaning the toilet or something. Telling me she feels for me.
It's nice to have something upbeat.
Yeah, and it's amazing what you can do during a 3-minute song, isn't it?
It is.
You can achieve, you know, you can have a good pickup around the living room or something.
That's another really good way to kickstart yourself with motivation as well, if you're struggling, is to do like timer challenges.
Okay.
So set a timer for anything between 3 to 7 minutes and set yourself a room and just see how much you can do. And you're trying to work against the clock then. So it sort of makes you more proactive and you try and do as much as you can so you feel better for it. And that's a good way to do it.
And I guess cleaning as well, it's a form of exercise, isn't it? So it can get the endorphins going and get the movement going. And
that's what I say, because it makes me feel less bad that I don't do any other exercise.
Yeah, well, running around after 2 toddlers is plenty, I would say, Harriet.
That's enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And cleaning also is a form of self-care, isn't it? I think self-care, we sometimes think that's the bubble bath and the spa day and the...
Because it's looking after your own environment, which is where you live. So it's making your home nice and safe for yourself and your children, especially at the moment with obviously the coronavirus situation. We need to be keeping on top of bacteria to a certain level to try and keep us safe. So it is a really important step of self-care.
And I'm wondering now that you said bacteria, that big scary word, bacteria and viruses, what could we say to people who are perhaps disproportionately worried about bacteria and viruses? How can housework help or hinder?
I think some people are taking it a little bit too extreme, especially people that unfortunately can't help it and suffer with illnesses such as OCD. Mm-hmm. It can be a really, really tricky time for these people at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really important not to over-exaggerate it, because the chances of the bacteria being in your home is fairly slim. As long as you're washing your hands and wearing your mask and things outside, you know, if you're taking the relevant precautions, it should be fairly safe. So I think maybe like making sure you disinfect your worktops every 24 hours or something would be a good thing to do, but not doing it like every hour, because that would be excessive.
Yeah, good advice. I'm really into Zooflora. I probably shouldn't do adverts on our podcast, but that comes in all the different lovely smells.
Yeah, they have lovely fragrances and the festive ones now.
Winter spruce is just coming around the corner now. That's one of my favourite Christmassy ones. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a lovely feeling when smell is so important as well, isn't it? When you're surrounded by bad smells, that can really bring your mood down. And our olfactory sense, our sense of smell, is one of the quickest ones to hit the brain, and it can activate all kinds of emotions really quickly.
I think having a nice smelling home can be really comforting as well. Yeah. It's just that sense of being home. You have like certain smells that you associate with home, don't you? And yeah, it's really nice to have like scented cleaning products and scented candles and things.
Yeah. And it's what smells nice to you, isn't it? I mean, for some people that might be the smell of shoe polish and tobacco, or to be vanilla and nutmeg or something, you know, that you'd buy off a shelf. It can be, I always remember my two grandmas, one of them, her smell was hairspray and cigarettes, because she smoked a lot and always had a hairspray.
She used.
Yeah. And my other grandma, it was Jif, as it was called then. It's called Sif now, but Jif and hand cream. That was the smell of her house.
Odd combination.
Yeah, odd combination. But if I do get that rare, you know, that rare combo,
that reminds you of them.
Yeah, it takes me back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell me a bit more about Instagram then, because I'm quite new to Instagram, and Recovery Devon has got an account that we're learning how to use. How did Instagram come into your life as an idea?
Well, I set it up, like I said, as sort of like an outlet and focus, because it was something to try and motivate me more. But also I wanted to get like a little bit of me back, because since becoming a mum, I found I was just a mum and I wasn't really feeling like Harriet. So I thought I needed to do something that was more for me than for the children. And my Instagram account has really given me that. It's just been, yeah, just a crazy journey, really. I never expected it to end up how it has at the moment, but it's been so much fun, and there's been so many amazing opportunities that I never even thought would have happened. And I didn't open my account with the intentions of any of this happening. It was just something for me to do as a bit of fun. And when I started as well, I was anonymous on there. So no one actually knew me in real life. I wouldn't even post pictures of myself or do any talking stories or anything. So it took me a really, really long time to build up the confidence to actually be able to put my face on there and talk on there, because with my anxiety, that's another thing I struggle with, is sort of just accepting myself. I find it quite hard to make friends or meet people in person. So for me to put myself out there on a big platform for anyone to see was a bit like daunting, but it's actually done so much good for my confidence, and it's really helped me to make some lovely friends and give me just a nice focus.
Oh, what an absolutely fantastic story of stepping outside of your comfort zone in a way that feels comfortable to you, but just risky enough to go a little step further and a little step further. And I can really, you know, hear and see what a journey it's been for you, Harriet. You know, congratulations. How many followers have you got now?
Thank you. I have 27,400 followers at the moment.
Wow. I mean, imagine if they all gave you a pound. How amazing would it be? Oh, that's great. And how often do you post?
I've been posting all my stories every 24 hours for the last 2 years. So I post stories daily, and then I post like several group posts a week. I was doing them daily at one point, but at the moment it's more a few times a week. So I have to be quite consistent, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I guess people come to rely on them as well a little bit, don't they, for their daily visit to the social media that they like.
Definitely. And I also have that with other accounts. Like, I will look at certain accounts every day to help me as well. It's a really good way of motivating each other and just helping each other feel a bit better, because it is that social connection as well, which at the moment is especially important.
Yeah. Yeah. And stories, they're a relatively new thing in the world of social media, aren't they? I remember first coming across them about maybe 3 years ago and not really understanding what it is about a story. So for people who don't know what a story is, who don't use social media, you've got posts, which is like a bulletin that goes up on the poster board and stays there forever and ever. And then a story is like a little snapshot of your day that's only there for 24 hours. And I can remember when I first heard about stories, I thought, why would anyone be interested in the snapshot of my day for 24 hours? But yeah, there's something about the fact that it's only there for a little while. It's more casual and it's more...
I think it's just really, really interesting to have that sort of private insight into someone's life. Yeah. Because it's things that otherwise you would never see going on. Like, it's just their like mundane daily tasks and things, and to be let in on that feels quite personal. It's quite a nice experience.
Yeah, it's really connecting and humanizing, isn't it?
It is. It's almost like everyone's got their own reality TV show.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And that's another feature of this year, is we're all seeing the inside of each other's houses a lot more than we normally would. You know, I'm in a study group and I've got a professional life, and all of my colleagues and fellow students, they're sitting in my living room effectively. You know, I get on with all of them, but I might not have chosen to bring them into my front room all together for a meeting. So it's that intimacy to it. Yeah.
It is, yes. And also I think there's another aspect of Instagram where you have to be quite careful and remember that not everything you see online is real as well. Like, quite often people share their best bits and highlight reels, and it can be quite easy to fall into the trap of like comparing yourself or your home to other people's. And I think it's really important that you just don't ever compare, because you don't know the true story of what's going on.
Yeah, thank you so much for naming that. It's so, so true. And I find stories can be a bit more real. I think one of the times that I visited your, because I follow you now and I quite like, you know, popping over to see what you're up to.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. I love it. But a story that you shared, I think one of your kids had dropped like a bowl of cereal on the floor or something, and you just put like a funny like, oh no, sticker face. And
that sounds about right.
Yeah, it really made me laugh. I thought it was great, something we could all relate to and really relevant to what your account's all about.
Yeah, that's it. I do try and share like the reality that our home is basically never very tidy. It's always a mess. But that's part of it. Like, I'm just trying to help normalize normal, because I think the people that only show the best bits are making other people like unintentionally feel bad. So I'd rather keep it real and show people that, like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. That, and then that gives people permission, doesn't it, to have a go if they're not feeling terribly confident about their house, or feel overwhelmed by kids or whoever they're living with, or being on their own. You know, that's a different kind of pressure, isn't it?
Definitely.
One of the projects that's come out of this, Harriet, is you've written a book, haven't you?
I have, yes. I wrote the book Emerging from the Storm, which is my mental health poetry collection. It's a collection of poems about my own personal experience of living with mental illness and the journey to recovery. And the aim is just to help break the stigma around mental health problems and talk about the parts of it, like the depths of the struggles that aren't usually discussed. I think it's brilliant that mental health is more openly talked about now, probably more than ever, but there's still a lot of it that isn't talked about. There's still a lot of it that's still kind of shunned and hidden under the carpet, and that people are too scared to talk about. So with my book, I really wanted to like delve into that and go a bit further than the standard conversation around mental health. And I think poetry is a really nice way to do that, because it's sort of not too triggering or overwhelming, but it's still getting the message across.
Yeah, it's also tends to be more bite-sized as well, doesn't it, poetry? It's something you can absorb in a couple of minutes rather than a gigantic self-help novel that might be a bit overwhelming. Yeah,
it's a bit easier to digest because you can just pick it up and dive into it anytime you want, or you can just read one poem and put it back down. It's just, yeah, a bit more manageable, especially for those that are dealing with mental health problems, because as you say, it can be so overwhelming to sit and try and read a book, because you look at it and think, oh my gosh, I've got all these pages to get through. Whereas when it's something like poetry, it doesn't matter if you just read one page, because that's one poem. So it's almost like loads of tiny chapters.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we're podcasting, exactly what you've just spoken to, that reading can be quite overwhelming when you're not doing so well. So I just wondered if you've got a copy of the book to hand, if you've got a favourite poem you might feel like reading out.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to share one with you all.
Yes, please.
So the poem I'm going to read is called Bright. I've chosen this one because it's a nice positive one that I think sort of relates to the theme of the podcast. Bright. In time, things can and will get better. One day, the sun will rise and it will be different to before. A different light will dance through the curtains and cast across your floor. A different smell will linger and your spirits will slowly rise. A different feeling will rush over you and take you by surprise. Things can and will get better. I've seen it with my eyes. You see, there is such thing as hope, and things will start to look bright. One day you'll think back to these words, and surely I'll be right.
Thank you, Harriet. That's lovely. And that's called Bright.
That's right, yes.
Lovely. I love it. Oh, that's gorgeous. And I love that word bright as well. I'm thinking now of a kind of gleaming sink, or as well as all the lovely imagery in that poetry. Oh, that's great. You launched the book quite recently. How did that go?
I did. So the book was launched on the 10th of October, which was World Mental Health Day. So to me, that had like significant meaning. And that was the launch date that really felt like personal to me. It's gone really, really well. Thank you. We've had some lovely feedback, which to me is the most important thing, because to know that it's even helped one person makes it feel like all the struggles I've been through have been like worth it.
So are there any more books in the pipeline? I'm wondering whether a book of cleaning tips would be something you'd consider.
I would love to write more books, but at the moment I'm not really sure. I'm always working on things in the background, but it's quite hard to get your work published. So this book was published with Arcbound, which are a charity publisher. So they help to present like underrepresented authors and people from diverse backgrounds. So people with disabilities or mental health problems, which obviously is really important. But to actually break into the publishing industry can be quite difficult if you don't have the money. So it's really nice that my publisher was able to help me like access the new world of publishing, because it's just not so easy to break into.
And you said you've always got projects in your head. So is there anything else that you're dreaming up that you feel all right to share with us?
Yeah, so I've started writing like, I guess it's almost like an autobiography about my experiences with mental health. But as you can imagine, that's going to take quite a long time to write. And I'm not sure if it will obviously ever go to print, but possibly one day. And I've also started another collection of poetry. So hopefully maybe one day there will be more poems released. I have actually written a few children's books too. I just love writing pretty much anything.
Is that before or after you became a mum that the children's books happened?
After.
After, yeah. Your favourite children's book, have you got one?
That I've written or by someone else?
Good question, either.
So by other people, I really love the Lindsay Dodge Slinky Malinky books and Harry McLary. Yes. I really love like rhyming children's stories. And as far as ones that I've written one rhyming story about a chicken from Heartland, which is the small village where I grew up. And I've also written a book about, it's like about normalising scars to children, because I have self-harm scars, and I think scars are like quite a taboo thing. And with children, it's not always taught like to accept them. I think at school, especially if a child has a scar, it can like open them up to bullying and things like that. So I just wanted to write a book about sort of normalizing that.
That sounds really important and valuable and needed, actually, Harriet. When we notice something different about somebody else, finding ways to normalise that and to talk about it and approach it and be comfortable around it. If you can be shown how to do that at an early age, then what a different world we could be living in if we all got that benefit.
That's it. And luckily these days there are a lot more books like that about accepting diversity, and sort of there's books about different disabilities and things aimed at children so they can understand from an earlier age. But things like, I guess, scars and imperfections maybe aren't so much talked about.
Well, it sounds like a beautiful piece of work, and it's just reminding me of, is that it's interesting that your book Emerging from the Storms has got storms in the title, because we have a series of different mental health anthologies The first one was called Beyond the Storms, and that's stories from people who have overcome mental health difficulties. And then for the second book, we wanted to represent people who perhaps didn't have that happy ending story yet. And that's called Riding the Storms, about being in the middle of storms. And we're working on a new book now where we're trying to collect together stories from carers. And we haven't quite decided on the title yet. It's going to be something like Getting Through the Storm Together or something along those lines. But
that sounds lovely. They all sound very important. I've actually ordered the first two as well. I'm really looking forward to having a read of them.
Oh, great. Good. Thank you. So I'll just take a moment to mention that they're free on the Recovery Devon website, and I'll pop a link in the blurb for this podcast.
And I think it's really important as well to try and keep it like uplifting, because it's such a hard thing for people to talk about. Like with me, it took me a long time to be able to be so comfortable and open about talking about it. And the reason that I am is because I hope that it will help to, you know, reach others and inspire others to like get help. But obviously it's not always that easy. And especially for those that are still going through it, it can be really, really hard to like say out loud, like how you're feeling and what you're going through. So I think to try and make it a bit more uplifting is really important, to try and relax people more.
Yeah, you're so right. And I'm wondering if it feels all right to share, and be honest if it doesn't, if you can share any moments along your journey when you thought, gosh, I'm really making a difference here. I was really touched earlier when you were describing going from being on Instagram in as a beginner, and how your confidence built and all of the looking over your shoulder now at the amazing journey you've come on. Were there any key points when you felt the boost of confidence, or that you could step a bit further out of your comfort zone?
Yeah, there were a few times where I think the main thing that helps me to be more confident and to step out of my comfort zone is when people say that I'm helping them. So for me, like, Instagram has almost helped me to accept myself more, because other people accept me as I am. So I just feel like if I can connect with others and be liked by them, then I should like myself, if that makes sense. But I've had some like really, really heartwarming messages. And also people come to me for advice, which obviously I'm not a professional, and I always like advise them to seek professional support. But I do also try and give them my personal support and help them. I had one lady whose daughter was self-harming, and she asked if I could create like an article for her to actually send to the school, so that all the teenagers could get like this copy of the booklet. So I took the time to write that article for them to try and help. And that was like just a big thing to even be asked to do that for them. Because if I can help anyone else, that's my passion. Like, I'm more than happy to do anything to help anyone.
It's honouring that expertise, isn't it? The learning that you've had going through this process and living with anxiety and finding strategies.
I think that's it, because unless you've actually been through it, it is very, very hard to understand. So for someone else going through it, it's a lot easier to open up to someone that's been in the same position and actually knows how you're feeling.
Especially when they can see your whole history on Instagram. I mean, how generous and honest and brave of you to put it all out there, Harriet. And it's really kind of you as well, Harriet, to say that you're going to donate a copy or two of your books to our recovery libraries. I really appreciate that. And I love what you said about helping other people was an important step forward in your recovery. We commonly hear that. And giving is one of the five ways to well-being, giving your time, giving gifts. So thank you.
You're very welcome. I think it's very important to just support each other, especially through mental illness, because it's something that makes you feel so isolated and alone. So to be able to then connect to others through that experience is just, yeah, quite special, really.
Yeah, it really is. Where can people find you? If we finish off by telling people where they can connect with you, what's your Instagram handle for our listeners?
My Instagram handle is @making_a_house_a_home.
Great. And have you got a blog page or anything as well, Harriet? Yeah.
I do. My website is www.homewithharriet.co.uk.
Well, Harriet, I look forward to seeing what you come up with next. We'll be following your journey very closely. Thank you for your time this evening and for your generous gift of books. And keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome.
Thank you. And thank you very much for having me on the podcast. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. Your feedback. I appreciate that.
Thank you for listening. If you have ideas which explore mental health directly or in imaginative ways, perhaps you'd like to create our next podcast. If you don't know how or don't have any equipment for recording, we'll do what we can to help. Simply contact us. Our email is community@recoverydevon.co.uk. Recovery Devon is a community interest company supported by the Devon Partnership Trust.